Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, a brand new show here on KCIS, the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planner Paul Grant. Hi, Paul.
Mark, how are you today?
Really good. Hey, awesome. Brand new show here on KCIS. Your show, you're the man, you're the guy who came up with the idea for the Legacy and Faith Show. Tell us a little bit about your heart for this show.
Well, I'm just so excited to be here and to have the opportunity to share some things that are really on my heart. Number one is that I'm excited to be able to take some of what my profession is, some of what my God-given tools are, and be able to then parlay those into helping people understand how to engage in faith so that we can actually leverage what the law allows us to do to build a long-term plan for our families. So this is really going to be a show and a hope and a heart that allows us to take our family vision and enact it generationally instead of just having an idea that an estate plan is a piece of paper and that our Christianity is something separate. Rather, that they are inherently tied together. The law can support what we want to do as believers, that we can set up a generational vision for our family and enact it through the law. Mm-hmm. And so that's really a part of what my heart is here with the show, helping people get a practical sense of what we can do legally through estate planning, whether it's developing the documents that we need or and then getting that into an aspect of faith.
Mm-hmm. So is this like, would this include like a trust, living trust and all that kind of stuff?
It too? Certainly can include uh-huh. that. Mm-hmm. I mean, basic estate planning is this, that there's only two tools an estate planner can ever use for you. One is called a will and one is called a trust. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't get much more complicated than that, right? Mm-hmm. They're pretty easy so far. But finding out which tool is best for an individual is really what an attorney's job should be for each family. Mm-hmm. Now, also in that is the question of which tool is best for me as an individual. And that really comes down to the aspect of, well, I don't know until I understand what your vision is for your family. Is the objective just to get money to somebody? Well, that could be a will for you. Is the objective to set something up that is long-term, that can last for generations? Well, now we may need to have a discussion about what a trust is. And so the tool itself really becomes ancillary to the first question, which is, what is in your family's best interest? And what is in your family's best interest then comes back to what is your long-term vision for your family? And so the Legacy and Faith Show, again, is part of that journey of discovering what tools should be enacted, whether it's a will or a trust, in order to accomplish your vision. That's really where I came up with the name as well. The legacy part is, how do we find the journey of creating a plan that will last for generations? And then faith is, well, how do we tie our Christianity? How do we tie the Word of God into enacting that vision? And so that's really became the Legacy and Faith Show. And that's going to be the duality of what I hope to accomplish and bring to the listeners of KCIS to be able to bring that dual model.
Okay.
Practical plus spiritual.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about your background then. What you led you to this point of hosting a show on KCIS? You've got a long history, estate, tax, and planning. Now, I understand this wasn't always what you were doing.
Yeah, that's right. I've actually lived as a normal human being and not always an attorney because, you know, attorneys being normal human beings are sometimes questionable. So, my journey really started as I was a missionary for several years. It's actually where I met my wife. My wife was my translator. I spent almost 3 years in Romania.
Wow.
And she was my translator. I thought that that was a pretty good partnership. So I asked if she would be my bride, and she said yes. So that was a heck of a good one.
Okay.
We've been married now for 25 years, almost 26. Her name is Mariana. And then when I came back to the States, when we came back together, I had a job with UPS. So I've actually been a blue-collar worker as well. I worked for UPS for 12 years, most of that as a driver up on Capitol Hill. So I know what it's like to throw boxes, sometimes in frustration, kick boxes, but you're not supposed to do that according to UPS standards, I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. So I did the labor aspect, but you can see me, and the listeners cannot, but I'm not a very big guy. I'm a pretty thin guy, and so that job really broke down my body. And at some point when we had two small girls, they're a year apart, so we have two daughters. Rebecca is now 21. Gabriella is now 20. But at the time, raising two kids all in one house when they're both in diapers was very difficult. My body was getting broken down at UPS. So my wife and I decided to take a step and make a transition. We opened up a couple small businesses. One was a cleaning business where we would go in to people's homes and we would clean their home. And then we also had some evening work as well, where we would go into like a Windermere office was one of our bigger clients, or dental offices and things of this nature. So it actually became a different environment for my wife and I to share the workload in our life. I was able to be a parent instead of always being at UPS moving packages. And my wife was actually able to then participate in some of the work. And it created a little bit of a different family dynamic, which we appreciated. But really through that business ownership is where I started to get an idea that maybe my brain operated just a little bit differently. I started developing...
Did you invent new cleaning tools?
Not quite that. Not quite that extreme. But just in looking over contracts, developing employee contracts, leases, and other things, I engaged with other attorneys to look over the things that we needed to do as a business. And as I read through the contracts, I began to see, well, what does that word mean? Could I get out of it if I interpreted that word like this? Does it work like that? So I was thinking that's a pretty strange way to think about a contract when you are reading them. I went over to Edmonds Community College. So I've lived up in the North End most of my adult life. And so I went to Edmonds Community College. They actually have the oldest paralegal program. I believe I'm correct in that. In the nation, it was the first, or at least one of the first paralegal programs. I took a basic Law 100 class. And I got about two classes into that, and I went home, and I go, I think we're in trouble. There was something that was clicking on the inside of me, and I think we can all relate to that, that as we begin to start finding our passion in life, our God-given direction, it feels different. Hmm. It feels different for us. There's a confirmation. There's an excitement. I mean, God wants us to be in our lane and operating in the areas that he's gifted us in. And there is a natural instinct and there is an excitement when we find that lane. Yeah. All of a sudden, it doesn't become work. It becomes joy.
You found that in the practice of law. It sounds like more the legalese part of law, the writing of contractual law.
Yeah, and that's really what estate planning is anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's really me taking somebody's desire, what their intent is, and creating a very solid document that can express and then ultimately play out exactly what they want. And so when that kind of trigger came for me at Edmonds Community College, I only had an AA at the time. So I needed to go back to school. I needed to finish my four-year degree. I went to Central Washington University, finished my four-year degree. I was, at that time, I was 36 years old. And then at the age of 38, I moved my wife and my two daughters to Michigan, and I went to law school. And that's a little bit of a risk, don't you think?
Yeah, that's
to be able to
life.
Take a 38-year-old and move your family, uproot them all, and accomplish what you believe is your new direction. But that's really what took place. In that journey then, immediately after law school, I got connected with a network. It's called the National Network of Estate Planning Attorneys. And I tell people that it's called that because attorneys are very uncreative, and that's the best that they could do. Just the National Network of Estate Planning Attorneys. But it is descriptive, so I'll give them that. It's a fabulous group. It is a group that allows and encourages collaboration with other attorneys around the nation. I meet with them twice a year, actually three times a year, a week at a time. And we are working collaboratively to ensure that our firms are moving in the right direction according to the law, according to taxes, and support each other. So even though I have a law office of my own, I'm a single person law office right now, I actually have the support of a national organization where I can pick up the phone and I can collaborate with other individuals. And that support network then, the national network, really gave me my business model of my firm. So not only has it become that I have the tools and been trained as an attorney, I have a degree on the wall, and that's great. I've been able to pass a couple bars both in Michigan and here in Washington. But it's more than that. I have a business model of estate planning being about relationship. And that, to me, is changed the game. That is everything. I had a sense even through law school that I wanted to do estate planning, but I really didn't know how. Didn't know how to be an estate planner. See, law school teaches you how to think like an attorney, but it doesn't tell you a business model. It doesn't give you the tools to actually go out and run a practice. That's a different system. That's a whole different game. So the network then is really my collaborative partner that allows me to stay on target and show and see the vision of what I want to accomplish in my relationships with individuals. And that is the key word. It's about relationships. This one area of law, more than any other, takes a relationship.
Okay, well, we are building a relationship with Paul Grant, brand new program here on KCIS, the Legacy and Faith Show. Paul is going to share more about his vision for this program and how it might help you in your estate and tax planning, and again, leaving a proper legacy for your family. We'll return with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant, and I want to personally invite you to Kingdom Builders, where business meets faith. Kingdom Builders is a one-day event to help Christian business owners focus on walking in faith and fulfilling their 2018 goals. We will be discussing topics such as, what is my dual calling as a Christian business owner? How do I capture what God's vision is for my business? What does it mean to use faith as a business owner? How do I grow my business using biblical principles? Am I being faithful with my finances as my business succeeds? There will also be practical discussions concerning business ownership, proper legal structure, tax implications, leadership principles, and many other topics. We hope you will set aside your day and join us as we prepare for an amazing 2018. Presented by the Legacy and Faith Show, Planning with Purpose, and Canyon Creek Church on Saturday, March 10th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Canyon Creek Church in Mill Creek. To register for this free Kingdom Builders event, please visit my website at legacyandfaith.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And back with the Legacy and Faith Show, Mark Holland joining Paul Grant, brand new show here on KCIS, man who has a passion for estate planning, tax stuff.
Yeah, you don't find that too often,
do you?
You
don't find that too often.
No.
This can be kind of a dry subject sometimes, but you want to remind people today, this is very important for our legacy. And we wanted to find out, what do you mean by legacy when it comes to estate and tax issues?
Yeah, legacy, I have my Bible open here, and really that comes back to Hebrews 11. I kind of came in today thinking about one specific scripture that I wanted to share for today's show. We're not going to get so much into the weeds. Tying in the faith aspect of today's show, but in Hebrews 11, on verse 33, it says who we just went through all the patriarchs of faith, all the Old Testament characters that lined up. So this is really called the faith chapter, right? Individuals who have demonstrated their faith and then watch God move in their life based upon their faith. And 11:33, right in the middle here, it ends the names, and now it starts the journey of saying what they accomplished. And it says that these individuals who through faith subdued kingdoms, brought righteousness, and they obtained the promise. And in the legacy aspect, and even in tying it into our Christian walk, the one aspect that I really want to communicate to the body of Christ is that as individuals, as believers, as Christians, we are taught by Scripture to engage in the process. I think there's a misnomer that God is going to be up there and He'll take care of it all, versus our mandate is to engage in faith with God. And estate planning, the legacy part, is really a call to that action. It's a call that we can't just sit down and believe that somehow, some way, it's just going to work itself out. See, families know themselves. So when I deal with clients, they typically have children, let's say, an average family. They're married, have a couple kids. They know those children. Now, whether they're younger or whether they're older, doesn't matter. But they have unique insight about their family. They know their strengths, their weaknesses. They know their abilities or lack of ability. Maybe let's just take one basic thing about estate planning. When we talk about the word estate planning, we may naturally think about the idea that I've died and now I'm going to get whatever I haven't used in this earth onto the next person. Okay,
right.
That's a very small definition. That's a very small part of estate planning, but that is a part of estate planning. Now, if I had $1 million, let's say, I have two girls. I have unique insight as their parent to their ability or lack of ability to manage money. Would you agree with me?
Oh, yeah.
That I, as their father, have been watching and even teaching them, and sometimes not, how to engage and properly manage money. So then part of the legacy is that we need to be proactive in ensuring that when this event happens, because in my world, it's never an if, it's a when, right? When I die, right. It's not an if I die.
Death and taxes.
Death and taxes, right? The two things I'm dealing with, they are absolutes, unfortunately. Right. So unless Jesus comes back, there I am going to die on this earth. And through me being proactive, I need to set up a plan, the legacy part, that says, this has been my vision with what God has given me. And I want to make sure that my vision is passed on to the next generation properly. So that's really the legacy aspect, is how do I engage instead of just let it be, instead of hope for the best? We need, I believe, in Scripture, we're mandated to engage in the process with God, not just hope that God accomplishes something or that it's just going to turn out. And that's really what estate planning can do. Estate planning in and of itself can begin the process of engaging the client to have a proactive and purposeful plan that passes wealth and values, not just an account, but your values on to the next generation.
Okay, well, then what is the most common estate plan, would you say?
Well, the most common is a very unfortunate one, and that is the do-nothing approach.
Okay, no plan, in other
no
words.
Plan, in a, yeah, so that's right. So statistically, if you reach the age of 65, then you only 50% of Americans at the age of 65 have done some type of estate plan.
Wow.
65 years old, 50% is what the statistics say.
Have done nothing.
Correct. Yeah. So you could look at it either way. Some have and some haven't, which means that before you're 65, with each 10 years, that number drops and drops and drops, right? So the first plan is do nothing. And yet that's exactly what I was just talking about, is that as believers, we need to get away from doing nothing. We must engage. We must do something and have a plan. And so, therefore, the do-nothing approach means that I'm going to rest upon Washington law if we die in Washington. So I'm just going to be talking about Washington issues in a general capacity. If I do nothing, that means Washington law tells me exactly what will happen. And now I've lost control of fulfilling my vision, what I see for my family, and the law now takes over. And I have no opportunity to speak into it. So here's the unfortunate part, is that most estate plans don't work. So let's talk about that for a moment, and let's think about that phrase. Most estate plans don't work. And obviously, one of the reasons is that most people do nothing, right? Because if you do nothing, it's really hard for your vision to be enacted. And Mark, if you don't mind, maybe I can use you as a little bit of an interactive here.
I don't know if I want to tell you too much about my estate plan.
No. I'm not going there. Okay. So if you believe me that most estate plans don't work, so let's just assume that that is an accurate, true statement from me. What are some of the reasons beyond somebody didn't do something at all? What are some other reasons why you might think estate plans don't work?
I would say because people didn't invest properly.
Okay.
didn't have the right kinds of savings plan.
Sure.
Weren't putting away money in their 401k properly. Didn't designate who they are really trying to help with anything that they're leaving behind.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Did we just recently have a big tax change?
We did, yeah.
Okay. So would that potentially influence an estate plan?
It should, yeah.
Yeah, it does, actually. Also, do you think that Washington State, because remember I told you, if you do nothing, you default to Washington State law. Do you think that Washington State is constantly maneuvering or adjusting the law at all?
I would think they probably are.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you'd probably believe me, and intuitively most people know that over the past 5 years, there have been dramatic changes in estate planning, whether it's trust law, whether it's powers of attorney. The courts are always making rulings, and that always maneuvers how the law is interpreted in estate planning. So what we find is that I'm going to refer to it as a traditional estate planner, which is a traditional estate planner is somebody who produces a document, slides it across the table to you, and then shakes your hand and say, it was great to meet you. Let me know if I can do anything else for you again. That average person who engages in an attorney in that way, they will let that estate plan sit on their desk for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. Has anything in your life changed in 20 years? I know a ton has changed in mine. The law has moved. Taxes have moved. My kids, everything has adjusted, and yet I'm relying upon a document that has grown completely stale. So that can no longer meet my intent of what I need today. So I have no problem in sharing my age. I just turned 50 years old. So congratulations to me. I made it over some magic marker. I don't know what that is, but there it is. So now, 10 years ago, when my girls were 11 and 10, do you think as a father and as a person, I looked at my children differently?
I would say so, yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But now, 10 years later, I see different strengths and weaknesses in my girls. Of course, my girls only have strengths. You have to understand that, right? So they don't have any weaknesses. But right. The average child out there. So what I may have set up when they were 10 and 11 was to accomplish a specific purpose. But now that they are 20 and 21, that specific purpose may be completely changed. But yet, we disassociate from an estate plan thinking that I've done a good duty. I've got the document. The document will not save the day. What saves the day is having an interactive relationship with an estate planner to ensure that they can find out what your intent is, what your vision is for your family, and constantly keep that document up to date, both legally, with taxes, and with your family. So all of these things together match the most estate plans don't work. We need to be engaged. And it's an engagement that doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the legacy and facial. That's where we want to go. We want to talk about legacy creating and engaging in a legacy, tying it in to our Christianity to fulfill God's word. He's given you a specific vision for your life and a specific vision for your family, and together we can actually accomplish it.
Some of the Heart of Paul Grant, the very first edition of the Legacy and Faith show here on KCIS. Who knew that this subject could have so many different aspects that are important to each one of us? Paul, if people have been listening today to the program and they would like to get in touch with you and find out how they can use your services, how do they do that?
Well, really, the only way that they can contact me is through my website. It's legacyandfaith.com. That will be set up to be able to allow you to ask questions. It'll see upcoming educational seminars, and it'll be able to give you contact information to reach the law firm. So go to legacyandfaith.com, and we'd love to get to know you.
Okay, getting to know Paul Grant this week, the first edition of the Legacy and Faith Show here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.